Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors disrupting your automatics. This is Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption disrupting your automatics. Today's show, changes, changes. We are live every Sunday on WHCR, WHCR.org, 90.3 FM. We are the voice of Harlem. And you can also catch me live on my Facebook page, Nick Papadopoulos, the man who's got a long last Greek name, honoring today all over the world. Today is Greek Independence Day. And here in New York City, there's a big parade on Fifth Avenue. So happy Greek Independence Day to all my Greek brethren out there. Today is Sunday, the start of a new week. Awesome, fired up, let's go. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics and a committed disruptor. I'm here, we're here to awaken humanity so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics, and personal development. The Dudes of Disruption, Coach Nick, has a men's group here in New York City. If you're interested in our men's group, we have a couple of sessions every month. Please come as a guest. I also run a social action group. If you want to get on the court around politics, please join our group. So if you want to join our men's group or our social action group, which is both men and women, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. coachnick@coachnick.com. Today's show is Changes. Changes, as David Bowie once said. Can you really change and grow, disruptors? In the end, do people truly shift, or are we stuck with the hand that we've been dealt? Does reading books on enlightened topics, or taking a powerful workshop, or hiring an awesome coach like yours truly, really make a difference? What really drives change in you or even in your company or in your organization that you work with? We start every show in the first segment with my riff and opening thoughts. Segment two is Say What, where we talk about an article or a book that relates to our topic. Today's topic is changes. Third segment is Ask a Dudette, and we're going to have Coach Kerry Canova-Turner joining at in the third segment. And then our fourth segment is Parting Shots. Please send in your online comments and also call in at 212-650-6903. And as I said, we start every show with Nick's riff.
I know that, dude.
All right, we start Nick's riff with a quote to help set a context for today's show, which is called Changes, Changes. Today's quote is from Mark Twain. The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. That's pretty powerful, pretty profound. The two most powerful days in your life is the day that you're born and the day you find out why you're here, right? What's the legacy that you're meant to leave behind? Why were you put on this earth at this moment in time? And so I think it really fits well inside of this conversation called changes. Do people really change? What actually inspires us to change? What gets in our way? Why are we resistant from changing? Are we stuck with the hand that we're dealt with, especially, you know, as we grow up as kids and through our teenage years? Are we just, this is just who we be. This is who we are, right? Is that really the case? I did a workshop one time, a personal development, personal transformational workshop that was really, really intense. It was really, really cathartic. It was for a number of days, full days from morning into the evening. And my then mentor, who was leading the conversation, leading the workshop, her name is Robin Lynn. She said in the middle of the workshop, she said, people don't change. People don't change. And there you have a group of people who are sitting there going through this cathartic process, going through this intense moment, going through this journey, right? They've paid all this money, they've invested all this time, they've made all the arrangements with work or with home, with babysitters, right? They're pouring their hearts out, they're working hard. And this woman says, People don't change. People don't change. Is that really true, Global Tribe? Do people not change? So here's how I interpret this statement that my mentor, Robin Lin, once said. I'm going to share with you some of the interpretations that I have around the statement called people don't change. I think ultimately for me and how I interpret her statement is that it's less about changing and having some you know, dramatic metamorphosis in any moment. It's less about changing in this very, very dramatic way and more about changing what you focus on. And it's more about changing what you are committed to doing and being and thinking. So it's less about this dramatic moment and more about what you choose to focus on. That's what you're changing. What you're changing is, are you willing to go through the journey of and go through the experiences of going for a commitment? Because that in itself starts to create a change, right? So it's less about this dramatic moment with the orchestra playing loud music, this great big unveil, and more about changing on a daily basis, minute to minute, day to day, week to week, what you're focused on, what you talk about, what you think about, what your eye is on, okay? So here's a few more interpretations about this statement that my mentor said, people don't change. How I interpret what she was saying, because we're inside of this workshop that we paid her to be inside of, and I got what she meant. I got it in that moment, and I really get it now years later. Instead of making yourself wrong or judging yourself for being the way you are in a particular moment, or the way that you're wanting to change or shift or disrupt, celebrate and honor that part of you that you want to disrupt. It's part of who you are. So lean into it, embrace it, rather than leaning out and making it wrong. So when she says people don't change, what she's really saying is, hey, it's all a part of who you are. If you're somebody who says, hey, I'm lazy around doing housework, I can be disconnected when I'm around my kids, when I'm at work, I can be very demanding. What she's basically saying is that's part of who you are. That doesn't mean that defines all of who you are, and it certainly doesn't define who you get to be all the time. She's also saying that part of you also serves to give you some kind of lesson. It serves you in some way. It's part of who you are. Just like you know, many of us have two arms, many of us have two legs, many of us have two eyes. It's like, it's part, you know, I have hair right now. I still have hair, even though the big birthday's coming up. It's part of who I am. So it's less about making it wrong, right? Because when you make something wrong, by the way, when you say, oh, I don't want that part of me, I don't like that part of me, but what you're potentially doing is perpetuating more of the same that you want to change because you're resisting it. And what you resist persists. Plus, it's important, as I said, to be grateful for whatever this version of you that you bring. It's important to be grateful for this version, whatever lessons it brought and what it taught you. And now you're ready for something different. Like whatever version you are now that you're wanting to quote unquote change, be grateful for it. It's actually brought you something. It's brought you experiences and people and lessons and goodies and money even, right? It's brought you something. It got you to where you are. It's part of who you are. And again, that said, it doesn't have to be all of who you are. The second interpretation I have around this statement that she made about people don't change is that instead of focusing on what you don't want, right, focus on making big, hairy, audacious declarations and commitments, like really big ones. This way you start to focus on the things that you desire and that unleash you. So again, it's less about changing yourself in this big dramatic way and instead start to change what you focus on. When your eye is laser focused on the new thing that you have declared, then all your energies, all your thoughts, all your conversations, all your feelings go towards that very thing you put your butt on the line about. Socrates once said, and I'm going to be quoting some Greeks today because it is Greek Independence Day, and a shout out to all my Greek brethren out there. Socrates once said, the secret of change is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. So I'm somebody who has often struggled with my relationship with my health and well-being. I'm a relatively healthy person, and at the same time, I think I've been pretty inconsistent and pretty lackadaisical about how I relate to my health and well-being. And what happened is I could continue and to perpetuate that narrative, which is, hey, I'm a guy who doesn't really like to wake up in the morning and exercise. Hey, I'm a guy who likes to eat some bad food more than your average person. Hey, I'm the guy who's always a few pounds, a little bit, you know, from what I'm supposed to be, and so on, right? And it's interesting because when I went to the doctor for my physical, my blood pressure was a little bit high. Not too bad, but high enough that had her say, hey, I want you to come back for a follow-up. And in that moment, I made a declaration, a big, hairy, audacious declaration that said, I am going to lose somewhere between 10 to 15 pounds. I am going to start exercising a minimum of four times a week. I'm going to hire a personal trainer. I'm going to start to meditate. These are things I'd never done before. By the way, part of my declaration on health and well-being included doing a 21-day cleanse. I mean, 21 days, I can't even count that high. I did a 21-day cleanse. I'd never done that before. And again, it's not about when you're changing, like, I still have that part of me that says, geez, I don't like to get up in the morning. And I embrace that part of me. I even like laugh at it and poke at it. And at the same time, literally at the same time, simultaneously, I can make a big, hairy, audacious goal to say, I declare I'm changing my relationship to health and well-being. And in this case, going to the gym four times a week, doing a 21-day cleanse, lowering my blood pressure, losing somewhere between 10 and 15 pounds. And guess what? Guess what? For the first time in my life, I accomplished all of them. My blood pressure is normal. Just went to the doctor last week. I ended up losing about 12 pounds. I've been going to the gym religiously four times a week at least. My relationship to health and well-being has changed. In the world of change, I have changed. But what really happened is my focus was on something else while not making wrong who I had been up until that point. And let me say one last thing before we go to break. It's misleading and even irresponsible to think that you're not going to have any breakdowns or any setbacks or that you won't have any kind of relapse after you've made some big, hairy, audacious goal or commitment or declaration. The relapse and being reactive is not the issue because it's going to happen. You're a human being. You're going to get triggered. You're going to have a reaction. You're going to have a bad day. You're not going to, there may be one week where I may not exercise four times at least, right? The real question is, how long do you stay in your breakdown? How long do you stay in the reactive state that you might be in? By becoming awakened, and it's why I'm so committed to awakening humanity, by becoming awakened and committed to noticing your reactions and your triggers, you usually don't stay in that breakdown for very long. You know, men, for example, are known to go to their cave, right? It's part of our process. It's part of our process when we make decisions. It's part of our process when we get upset. Going to the cave as a man is not the problem. It really isn't. I know some of the women out there may not like me saying that, but here's what you will like. The issue is not about going to the cave because that's part of our process. Men do need some time alone sometimes to think things through on their own. That is part of being a man. That's not the issue. The issue is, how long do you stay there? So my goal as someone who runs men's groups, who coaches executives, who coaches individuals, is to have people not make them wrong for going to their cave, because that's part of being a man. It's like, people don't change. Men go to their cave. How long do you stay there? So instead of staying there for 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years where you have disconnected and potentially ruined or hurt relationships and even hurt your own relationship to yourself, you stay in the cave maybe for 2 minutes or 20 minutes or maybe 2 hours. So ultimately for me, it's less about changing in some big dramatic way and more about changing what you focus on, what you focus your eye on, what you focus your time and energy towards. Because eventually the new desire or the new goal that you focus on is what you end up spending most of your time around. And the other things that you no longer want just fade into the background. It's almost as if I was a different person. They just fade into the background. So today's question for the day is, can you change? Can people change? More when we come back. Today's show is Changes. Please call in 212-650-6903. Please send in your online comments. I'll be reading them when I come back from break. We also have Coach Kerry Canova-Turner in our third segment. The Dudes of Disruption will be right back. We'll be right back. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of thinking, your automatic way of doing. Our special guest that's calling in the next segment is Kerry Canava-Turner. Today's show is Changes. A couple of online comments we have from our friend John Mihaltes, a Greek on Greek Independence Day. He says, 31 years, a pack-and-a-half day smoker, had no intention, not even a thought of quitting, got out of work, went to the gas station to buy a carton, guy hands it to me, tells me $74. I tell him, screw it, keep it, I'm done. That was 75 days ago. Also that same day, I stopped booze, fast food, and soda, started going to the gym, which is now I go 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. How's that for change? Right on, John. I love it. And then he follows up and says, damn right. John, I am so, so psyched for you. I mean, that's pretty fascinating, right? The question for the show is, can you change? Can people really change? It is fascinating that literally, he went to the gas station. He made a decision. And in that moment, everything changed from how he relates to his health and well-being, which includes smoking, what he eats, how he exercises. It's why I always say to people, if we want something really, really badly, as human beings, we always have the capacity in any moment to have everything change. Now, in John's case, he changed because the price of cigarettes went up. And what I would say is, sometimes that's okay, right? Sometimes we make changes out of reaction, out of something that happens to us. And what I would also say is, what would be possible if we made changes without things actually happening to us, rather having us be intentional, having us actually make the changes in a proactive way? What would be different? What experience would get created? What result might get created in that case? It may be the very same as John described, and at the same time, it might be done with more energy and with more fun, and maybe even easier when you're not doing it because of some crisis or some traumatic experience that may have happened. So thank you, John, for sending your online comment. Please keep sending your online comments. Again, today's show is Changes, changes. Can people really change? Can you change? Or are you stuck with the hand that you're dealt with? So we're in the second segment. We talk about this is our Say What segment, where we share an article or a book that relates to our story. Again, today's show is Changes. I have a story here, an article that I found on Huffington Post by Douglas Labeer. And it's called, Can You Ever Really Change Your Personality, right? So please send in your online comments if you believe you can, if people can around you, right? So the article starts with a quote from a novelist named Norman Mailer, who wrote in the book, The Deer Park. He says, it's a law of life that one must grow or else pay more for remaining the same. That's pretty powerful. One must grow or else pay more for remaining the same. One of the things I liked about this article, that it disrupts some of the conventional thinking that's out there, that people actually can't change, right? Think about the people in our lives, people at work, our spouses, our partners, our kids even for that matter, where often we'll say, well, Nick is just this way. She's just that way. You know, they're always late to meetings. They're always late in delivering deliverables. You know, they're always sloppy with how they pack their clothes or leave their clothes around in the house. They're just that way, right? And so what I like about this article from Douglas Labeer, can you ever really change your personality, off of Huffington Post, he disrupts this with some recent research that confirms our capacity to change and how we have a capacity to actually grow different dimensions of ourselves. And what I love about the article especially is that change occurs from awareness of what aspects of our personality we want to develop and working hard to practice them in daily life. Another way said, that's basically saying, if you keep your eye on something new, that's the fastest way to change. I think sometimes people don't change because it seems like it's going to be so dramatic and so hard, and it's going to be like climbing up a mountain. And what this article is actually saying is, sometimes it's really as easy as just saying, you know what, I really want to change this very thing, and you just start to focus on that. And you just take it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week to week, month to month, rather than having to have it happen all at one time. And by the way, if it happens all at one time, like John was describing earlier, that's cool too. So research in this article, Can You Ever Really Change Your Personality, by Douglas Labeer, There was research done at the University of Illinois that conducted a study that tested the degree to which people could grow a particular personality trait or quality over a period of 16 weeks, 4 months. The research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that the participants who desired to change some dimension of themselves did so in comparison to those who displayed less interest. So the results ultimately showed that people's personality traits and daily behaviors to change tend to change in ways that are aligned with their goals for change. So if you have a desire to change, literally, I choose to change, and you have a desire for it, you're more likely to change than if you're less interested. Seems pretty basic. A good example of this actually is in a quote that I used last week from Malcolm Gladwell. He says, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you're committed to something, you accept zero, no excuses, only results. You literally do whatever it takes. And John, in his comments before, it demonstrates the fact that literally in one moment, he changed his entire relationship to his health and well-being. In my share from the first segment, literally after I left the doctor's office, when they told me I had higher blood pressure than normal, I literally changed my relationship to health and well-being. And again, the question I'm going to keep offering to you is, sometimes we're going to change out of reaction to something, like going to a doctor who tells you you have high blood pressure. And what would be possible if you didn't wait for those moments? You didn't wait for the crisis. You didn't wait for the traumatic event to happen. That you were just actually disrupting the automatic and being proactive and intentional about changing something in your life that you really, really desire, right? The article goes on to say that what they explained was, goals led to changes in behavior. So as people were going for goals in their studies, they led to changes in behavior, which then leads to changes in self-concept, which then prompts even more behavior change. And this is what I mean from the first segment when I was doing my riff. When your eye is focused on something different and something new, and you have a new experience of yourself, like accomplishing a new goal or some aspect of that new goal, you start to disrupt the old narrative that you've carried with you for so long. This narrative called, in my case, hey, I'm really lazy around exercising. Hey, I'm not really your gym kind of guy, whatever that even means, right? I'm really not that kind of person, right? Because I started to go to the gym once, twice, three times, four times, because I hired the personal trainer, because I started doing the 21-day cleanse, and I saw that day after day I was keeping to my word on the 21-day cleanse, all of a sudden I disrupted this narrative called, hey, I'm not really your health and well-being kind of guy, right? I'll give you another example. I've written a first draft of a novel, and it's on male transformation. I run men's groups here in New York. As I said, the Dudes of Disruption have a men's group. So please, if you want to be a guest of our men's group, or you have a dude in your life that you want to send as a guest, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. I've written a book with a friend and colleague, Jake, who's also part of our men's group. It's 37 chapters. We've been meeting and writing this book for almost 15 months. And if you told me 15 months ago that every week Jake and I would be writing, every week we'd be having a conference call to discuss the book, that every week we'd be emailing each other, that every week or so we would be contacting other people to get thoughts, I would have told you to bet against me. Because I have a narrative in my mind, which is when it comes to academics, when it comes to studying, if you will, when it comes to writing, you're not getting me to do that for 15 months? You're not getting me to do that for 15 minutes. And here I am 15 months later. And it's because I made a big, hairy, audacious declaration and commitment in front of a lot of people. I actually did it in front of my men's group. And I said, we are writing this book. And 15 months later, we're complete with our first draft. And what I'm most proud of is that what I changed was the narrative. What I'm most proud of is that I disrupted this narrative that had been with me up until that moment. And what I'm proud of is that what carried the day was I made a commitment in front of a group of people, and I wanted to avoid going back on that word because I did it in front of other people. And that's a really good thought for people out there is, if you want to keep your butt on the line, let everybody know what your goals are. It's why I think it's great when people get married, for example. They do it in front of people. I think one of the reasons why the marriages that work even work, or even marriages that don't work out in the end, work as long as they do, is because we made a big, hairy, audacious commitment in front of a group of people. And you want to live into that commitment, right? You want to live up to that commitment. So I think that's really, really important. The article, again, that we've been talking about here during our Say What segment is Can You Ever Really Change Your Personality? By Douglas LaBeer, here on off of Huffington Post. One of the things that the book, the article highlights is that the importance of having a vision of your more developed self, some aspect or dimension of your personality that you aspire towards, that has the effect of drawing you towards expressing those qualities of yourself, like being pulled by a magnet. So for me, part of what carried the day for the book is that I really want to make a difference in men. I want to write a book about men, very much like Good Will Hunting was about male transformation and male personal development. I feel responsible as a man who's in this work of transformation to do a book about men. And so again, my more developed self was that I want to make a difference in the world. I want to contribute. And so that's what kept me on those phone calls every week, kept me writing, kept me commenting, kept me reading. And I love what the article says, that ultimately it pulls you like a magnet. And that magnet is like the law of attraction. We're all susceptible to the laws which govern the universe, by the way. And one of them is the law of attraction. And it's the law of attraction which uses the power of the mind, your mind, to translate whatever is in your thoughts and materialize them into reality. In basic terms, all thoughts turn into things eventually. If you focus on negative doom and gloom, you will remain under that cloud. If you focus on positive thoughts, if you focus on the things that you desire, that turn you on, that unleash you, that get you fired up, and have goals that you aim to achieve, you will find a way to achieve them with velocity, with inspiration, with a ton of energy. The law of attraction dictates that whatever can be imagined and held in the mind's eye, it's achievable if you take action on a plan to get to where you want to be. So again, we've been talking about this article, Can You Ever Really Change Your Personality? By Douglas LaBeer. We're going to take a break now. Again, I want to mention, for those who are joining us right now, we have a podcast. Every Monday it drops on both iTunes and on Podomatic. Still to come, we have Coach Kerry Turner. In this next segment, we have parting shots. Please keep sending in your online comments, or you can call in at 212-650-6903. All right, you've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of doing, your automatic way of thinking. And not that your automatic way is wrong, by the way. By disrupting your automatics, it just gives you an opportunity to notice what's happening around you. By disrupting your automatic, it gives you the opportunity to actually choose whatever you've been doing with eyes wide open, or to choose something different that serves you now or serves the people around you. Today's show is changes, changes, as David Bowie once said. By the way, before we bring on Kerry, please check out the Dudes on social media. The Dudes of Disruption are on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. You can also email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. The question of the show, again, is can you really change? Can people change? We just read an article in the last segment where there's research that's been done that says, yes, people can change. Again, please call in with any questions or comments, 212-650-6903. Why don't we bring in one of our fan favorites, Coach Kerry Canova Turner. Coach Kerry, are you on the phone?
I am. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm great, Kerry. How's it going today?
I'm doing great. How's happy Greek Independence Day?
It's very happy, by the way. It is good to be Greek. I am proud to be Greek. I am proud to come from Greek immigrant refugee parents who are filled with passion, filled with soul, and filled with love. And I'm going to be in Greece this summer with my sister, her husband, their family, and my family for 2 weeks. How exciting.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Right? right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Carrie, do you want to tell the Global Tribe of Disruptors real quick one line on who you are? I mean, I know you've been on the show many times, but just to let some of the newbies know?
Absolutely. So I'm a coach and a writer, and I teach women how to utilize their divine feminine power to heal and empower every facet of their lives.
Awesome. So, Carrie, let me ask you let me start our conversation by asking you, why do people not change? Or why do people resist it so much, right? Especially when they know, you know, they go to the doctor, like I did. I shared in the first segment that I went to the doctor, and the doctor during my physical said, hey, your blood pressure is a little bit high, right? And in many cases, people blow that off. In many cases, people will find the evidence to say, no, my blood pressure actually is okay. Which, by the way, I did do that initially. Initially, I went to enough people who said, your blood pressure is fine. And it wasn't until I made a different choice that changed my relationship to health and well-being. But your experience in coaching individuals and working with teams, why do people resist or not change?
Well, a few different things. One is I think that they tell themselves a story of this is just the way I am,
right?
Which might be disguised as acceptance, like that's some kind of like, wow, they've come to a really amazing place of acceptance, but it's really a backdoor
right.
to not stepping up.
Right.
Two, I think that they're not connected to a compelling vision of their future.
Okay.
They're very, very used to living in reaction
right.
versus creation.
Right.
And again, they're just committed to their old story about not changing. And they're not really connected to the consequences and what it's costing them to stay in this place.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think often one of the exercises that I do with a client is to take inventory of what are the costs. Right? What are the consequences of being who you're being and doing what you're doing? And not from a make wrong place, right? Rather, literally as an inventory to say, hey, who am I being and what is that producing? What am I doing and what experiences is that generating, right? And what does that cost? Because there's clearly a payoff and I'm getting something out of it. And then there's potentially a cost. And if the cost is high enough, that's often a catalyst for change. You know, I want to go back to something you said. You said it very subtly. You said sometimes people don't want to step up. Are you saying, Carrie, that sometimes people avoid or refuse or resist to choose a different way because they're unwilling to take on a new way of being that it would take to be different, that they don't want to be responsible around being different? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, not in a way that it's a negative, in a way that when you are embarking on a new way of being, you must, and jumping over into a new space, there is a letting go that has to happen, and human beings are programmed to hold on to stuff.
Right.
And so I think that it could elicit fear of, it's fear of the unknown.
Right. Yeah, I think the fear of the unknown is actually another way said about the fear of the unknown is that we often don't trust ourselves, right? We don't trust ourselves that we're going to figure it out, that we're enough.
Or maintain it. Can I maintain this?
Or maintain it, which is what I, and by the way, what I love about that is that I said in my first segment, which is I think when you're going through a transformation, a personal transformation, or even inside of your company, an organizational transformation, I think it's irresponsible to think that you're perfect. You know, somebody once said to me, and it was so freeing. It gave me such freedom. They said, when you play a big game in your life, like really big game, like when you're really stretching and you're really committed to something really big, something much larger than yourself, you're going to have breakdowns. You're going to have missed promises. It's not about the missed promises or the breakdowns. It's about, are you going for it like it's nobody's business? Because people know when you're going for it like it's nobody's business. And if you do break a promise, do you actually clean it up? Do you take responsibility? Do you even learn? Do you learn from that experience, right? And so I think it's interesting that sometimes people don't change because they say, well, I fear the unknown. And what I say to them is, the unknown is just your ability to trust yourself. And I have evidence of people, the people that I work with individually and as groups of people in teams, I have the evidence that they'll always figure it out. Because when people need to figure stuff out, they figure it out.
Yeah, one of my mentors, Marie Forleo, has a quote that she always says, which is, everything is figure outable. And I love that, because it's just like, just when you think that you've exhausted every option, you haven't. And to know that that is a possibility, just to dwell in that possibility could just pull you over the line again and again and again, wherever you are.
Yeah, no, I love that. So say that. What was the quote again? Everything is
figure outable.
I love it. Speaking of mentors and quotes, I shared a quote from a mentor of mine, Robin Lynn. Robin Lynn once said, inside of a workshop to me, she said, "People don't change." And so the question I have for you is that true? Is it game over? Are we stuck with this version of ourselves? You know, if so, then why bother listening to the Dudes of Disruption every Sunday or on Podomatic or on iTunes, right? Or getting coached by you, right? Or reading an awesome book or joining our men's group. Like, why even bother then? I mean, do people not really change? Or what do you think about that sentiment that she said?
So I think that as long as we have air in our lungs, that it's not game over.
Okay.
And I think it's so important for us to realize that. My interpretation of what Robin said, which I actually wholeheartedly agree with, by the way, as much as I said what I just said,
yeah,
is that she's talking about the shadow side of us. You know, Carl Jung talked about the shadow. That's like the part of us that we don't want to embrace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that... what Robin was saying is that piece is always with us. Like, you don't get to shake that.
Yes.
Like, it's always there. And someone along the way, no matter how much you grow and expand, is going to come along and, like, one of my coaching teachers used to call it jiggle or jello. Someone's going to come along and jiggle you jello.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we can't change. It just means that we get to be aware of our stuff and own it and choose to shift when our jello gets jiggled, just to be like, wow, okay, like something's going on here for me. Like, what is it? What piece of not enoughness, what is that piece of me that I try to hide from that's getting triggered right now? And when you don't hide from your shadow, because people don't change,
right.
you get to I'm seeing like this rainbow shoot.
Okay.
you get to overcome, to surpass, to expand, to blossom. The radio knob gets tuned down on the shadow and gets turned up on the light side.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. I mean, you know, I think that sometimes when we want to change, we make the thing that we want to change from wrong, right? We make that version of ourselves wrong. And I was saying in the first segment during my riff, which is actually lean into it, embrace it, because it's part of who you are. There are lessons and gems inside of that version of you. And I also think that it's more work to resist that part, right? Because there's less freedom when you're there's less energy when you're sort of fighting this old version, and instead of saying, hey, this is part of who I am, and it's like I'm bringing it all with me, and at the same time I can choose something different, right? Like you were making the comparison between the shadow and the light. It's like both can be present. I can be a guy who says, you know what? I don't love going to the gym. I really don't love. I don't know if I will ever love going to the gym. And at the same time, I can still go at least four times a week. I can lower my blood pressure like I have. I can lose weight like I have, right? I can do all those things at the same time. Like, both can actually exist because both are part of who I am. And both are part of, like, the beauty of who I am.
Absolutely. You know, what you're really talking about, Nick, is like everyone's pretty much heard about the law of attraction unless you've been under a rock somewhere,
right,
even if you're not into that kind of stuff.
Right, and I mentioned that in the last segment, so I'm glad you're saying it again.
So you're talking about the law of allowing, which is another universal law.
Okay.
And this is like physics, and I would challenge everybody listening to this to like try this on this week. What it would be like to just allow things, to not make them wrong.
Right.
It's amazing what happens, and what my experience has been with myself and with other people that I've worked with is when we allow things, including our shadow side, and that's not like, oh, I'm just going to be like a mess. It's that I see it and I'm going to refocus. But when we allow things, what happens is we free up energy.
Right.
And we get the energy to move forward in the direction of where we truly want to go.
I love that. What do you think causes the greatest change in people or with teams at companies? Is there a specific moment in time where you've seen it happen more than others?
Well, I think for me, it would be it's that compelling vision, a deep desire to connect to purpose, making an impact on something that's bigger than ourselves. Again, when it's not just about me, when it's about we.
Right.
And Simon Sinek wrote a great book, and he did a great TEDx talk on called Start With Why.
Yep.
And, you know, people don't care about what we do, they care why we do it. And it's, again, that heart-centered leadership.
Yes.
Whether it's personal or professional, and having a why, whether it's in your romantic relationships, your family relationships, your finances, your professional life, whatever it is, having a why that can actually make you weep, like being that connected
to
something is what will pull. It's like a magnet.
Totally.
That will pull you forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also by declaring your why that Simon Sinek talks about is, I think what happens vibrationally out in the universe is that people, it is very much like a magnet and people are attracted to it. And all of a sudden, you will start aligning yourself with more people like that. You start aligning yourself with like-minded people as well. And I do think that, you know, like in our men's group, for example, our higher purpose is to build a community of men who get to live life purposefully and get to transform the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're in our mishigas, if you will, right? When we're being messy, right? And we're being who we're being, right about whatever we're being right about. I think often what carries the day is the group's higher purpose. And we've also done individual whys or higher purposes, right? And that's often what carries the day is that the commitment then overcomes the feelings that you have. The commitment overcomes the circumstances that you have. The commitment or the declaration, this big, hairy, audacious declaration or commitment that you've made overcomes all of the narratives that you've had from the past, because, hey, I put myself on the line, right? I said I would do this. The world needs me. That group needs me, right? My family needs me.
Yes. This is why I'm breathing. I mean,
exactly.
like that out there.
Yes. Let me ask you this question, and we'll go to break. Will you hang on after break and do a parting shot with me?
Absolutely.
Is there a specific tool or approach that you use with clients to create change that you've seen work, that has worked with velocity, that's worked with some momentum?
Yes, I have a few. Quickly, it's one. My number one is I know you know this well, is the distinction of interpretation or reframing.
Yep.
I know human beings are meaning-making machines, and events are moments in time, but we get to change and reinterpret the meaning no matter how old we are or where we're at in our lives. So that would be one.
Okay.
And I think becoming conscious of where we are when we are in reaction mode. So like a tool, I've had people set alarm clocks on their cell phones to check in with themselves to see if, am I coming from my old reactive self or am I in creation mode?
Got it.
To literally check in.
I love it.
So that would be one. And then also I have signs. I even do this for myself. I have a few signs all over my house, in my desk, in my refrigerator.
Yep.
everywhere. And it says, who do I choose to be? What do I desire to feel? What am I committed to creating? So I can't get away from myself, you know, like it's like in my face.
Got it. Love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Up next is our parting shots. Please continue sending in your online comments. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Hey, Welcome back. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We have Coach Kerry Canavaturner on. Our show today is changes. Can people change? Can you change? Please continue sending in your online comments. Again, we have a men's group here in New York City, the Dudes of Disruption Dupe. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com if you want to be a guest or send one of your dudes as a guest. I also run a social action group here in New York City. Get on the court around politics. It's a good time to have a voice. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com to learn more about our social action group. Kerry, before you came on, I was reading an article from Huffington Post. It's called "Can You Ever Really Change Your Personality?" by Douglas Labeer. And Douglas Labeer offers a few tools also, just to build on what you were saying before. Mm. So what he says is, so it helps to consciously change and grow dimensions of your personality. Here are a few exercises. And there's four, and I'm going to post them on the Dudes of Disruption Facebook page as well. Identify and list some qualities of yourself that you believe exist within you, but have remained underdeveloped or dormant that you desire to strengthen and expand. That's number one. The second is, for each one, envision what it would look like if you did embody that quality in your personality in daily life, in your relationships, at home, at work, in your emotional attitudes. The third step, and there's four, there's third step that Daniel recommends, is describe that more broadened, expanded picture of yourself in a paragraph or two. And then the fourth point, he says, is reflect on what you need to do each day to strengthen that dimension or dimensions of yourself, like strengthening a new muscle. And I don't know if you heard, but what the article was talking about is they did a study, and they said that people who get clear about an area of their life that they want to change and are actually very interested and committed to doing that, the study showed that they're more likely to actually change and shift and disrupt whatever automatic they were in than folks who actually were less interested or more blasé or more informal about changing. And so those four steps, what he's really saying is identify, become awakened, become aware of an area that you want to work on, and then start to work on that muscle.
Yeah, be passionate.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to do parting shots. Again, we are live every Sunday from 2 to 3. We have a podcast every Monday that drops on iTunes and on Podomatic. Kerry, do you have a parting shot you want to leave us with?
I do. And it's one of my favorite quotes. It's a Cherokee proverb. And it's called "The Battle of Two Wolves Inside Us All." One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, lies, inferiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. The wolf that wins, the one you feed.
Mm. Love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kerry, for being on the show. Let me give you my parting shot. I'm actually taking my parting shot from my very wise sister, Anna Papadopoulos. And while doing that, I'm also honoring Greek Independence Day that's going on throughout the world. And here in New York City, there's a big parade going down Fifth Avenue. But it's from a post that she shared yesterday. So I'm literally going to share Anna Papadopoulos's post because I think it's so brilliant and apropos for our conversation today. So here's what she wrote. "I love that we celebrate Greek Independence Day, not on the day that Greeks regained their freedom from the Ottoman Empire after 400 years of rule, but on the day that the war commenced, when the Greek revolutionaries said they had enough. There's power in beginning and risking everything without knowing the outcome." And she puts in parentheses, "The war lasted over 8.5 years. Today, we get to choose where, how, and with whom I get to live because a group of people said they matter too. It's a day for all of us and a day to begin to break free from whatever it is that binds us." I'm getting goosebumps just saying that.
Oh my God, I'm all teared up. That is absolutely fabulous.
And just if you thought that was good, she then added another drop the mic moment. She said, "With no beginning, there's no victory." And I believe the victory is ultimately freedom.
Yes, right?
To have,
I believe that's what we're all
yes,
on a quest for.
Yes, and we all define what freedom is, right? I mean, yes. To have freedom to be our best version, freedom from our disempowering narrative, or, you know, freedom from the narrative that gets in our way, freedom to be our authentic selves, to bring our voice forward. Freedom. With no beginning, there's no victory. So choose today, begin today, to take the path of freedom. You've been listening to Coach Nick and Kerry Canova-Turner. This is the Coach Nick and Dudes of Disruption show. We're back next Sunday from 2 to 3. Podcast on iTunes and Podomatic drops every Monday. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Dudes of Disruption. And we end every show, Kerry, every show with a Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.